Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Aleph. We begin two lines in the top, but we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, V'kore achrei mos v'ach b'yoser, the Kohen Gadol, upon completion of the Avodah on Yom Kippur, so he read various psukim from the Torah that deal with Yom Kippur. So he read from Parshas Achrei Mos, as we said, and he read from Ach Be'asor, which is in this week's Parsha, Parshas Emor. So the Gemara says, but there's a break in between them. How are you allowed to skip? Rumini, we ask the following Shaila. This is a Mishnah in Megillah that seems to tell us you cannot skip in Chumash. Medalgin b'Novi, v'imedalgin b'Torah. It says Beferish over there that in the Navi, when you read Av Torah, a person can skip some psukim, skip a perek, go from perek gimel to perek hey. You're allowed to skip when you're reading Navi. But it says, Beferi, you should not let us skip when you're reading the Torah. So how can you read from Parshas Achrei Mos and then go and skip all of Kedoshim and go to Emor and read in the middle of Emor, Af Be'asor L'Chodesh? So how can that possibly be? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Lokash, it's not a stira from the Mishnah in Megillah because it depends. Kan b'chdei sheyivso kameturgamon, kan b'chdei shelo yivso kameturgamon. They used to have a person who would translate into Aramaic. They would read Tagamunklis, which was the vernacular language. When they would read the pasuk in Hebrew, then they would translate it into Tagamunklis for the people. Then they would read the next pasuk, they would translate it Tagamunklis. So as long as there was enough time when you mished the Torah from Achrei Mos, where they were learning about Yom Kippur, to Parshas Emor, where Ach Be'asor, where they were learning about Yom Kippur, so when they translated the last pasuk of Achrei Mos that they were reading, the Meturgim would say it, so they could quickly mish one or two columns and get to Emor, therefore there is no problem. It's not considered problematic to skip if there's enough time for the Meturgim to translate in between, and there won't be a Tircha de Tzibur, it won't be keeping the Tzibur waiting for you to find the right place. Mara says, that's not correct. V'ha'alok'tani, in the Mishnah, in Megillah, it specifically stated the opposite of what Abaye just suggested. Medalgin bin Novi, ve'ein medalgin b'Torah. It says you're allowed to skip in Novi, but you're not allowed to skip in Torah. And it said in the Novi, how much you're allowed to skip, yad kam medalgin, ad k'dei shelo yivso kam meturgamon. That over there, you're only allowed to skip as long as the meturgamon on the Novi, there was enough time for him to translate the last pasuk, and then you skip to another place in Navi, as long as it was enough time for the Meturgim not to finish his translation, that's not considered a Tircha de Tzibura, that's not considered a problem of making the Tzibur wait in silence while you mish it. But that was in Navi that they said that it had to be enough time for the Meturgim to finish off the pasuk. Implication being, in Klal, the Bitorah, that when you're reading from Chumash, even if there is enough time for the Meturgim to say the Targum, and you to mish to the next place, Klalu Klalo, that you wouldn't be allowed to do this. So the Mishnah in Megillah is understood to saying that even in the Torah, you wouldn't be allowed to skip from Achrei Mos to Emor, even though it won't cause a delay in the Tzibur because the Meturgim is still translating. So how can you possibly explain over here how the Kohen Gadol is allowed to go from Achrei Mos to Ach Be'asor? So Abaye therefore says, Elohim Abaye, lo kasha. The reconciliation between the Mishnah there and our Mishnah here is Kan B'inyan Echod, Kan B'shnei Inyanim. That when it said over there in Megillah that you're not allowed to skip in Chumash, it's only if you're dealing with two inyanim, even though there'll be enough time for the Meturgim to say it, so you won't be having Tircha de Tzibura. But here, we're talking about where it's the same inyan. So in the same inyan, there is no concern, as long as there's enough time for the Meturgim, so you're not having Tircha de Tzibura, and it's in the same inyan, so people won't get confused. Rashi brings down that we're very, very much concerned if it's two separate inyanim in the Torah, because people might get confused, and the Torah is halacha lemaisa dinim, and people could mistakenly misunderstand something because you skipped inyanim. In the Navi, where it's not halacha lemaisa, it's not dinim, so therefore, if they were to make a mistake, it wouldn't be as bad. Whereas in reading of the Torah, it actually says, Dira masu kam b'inyan echad, it says, if it's in the same inyan in the Torah, medalg b'torah, kigon mastesin, our Mishnah, which is Achrei Mos and Ach Be'asor. Achrei Mos and Emor are both talking about Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur, Chabikurim Ninhu. And therefore, Hilkoch Medalgin, you're allowed to go and jump from Achrei Mos to Emor, since it's the same inyan, B'chdei Shelo Yivsok, as long as there's enough time that you're not causing Tircha de Tzibura, because the Metargim, the Meturgamin, is still explaining the words outside. And the Braisa, the Ktani, Afilu Bichdei, Shelo Yifsok, Turgamon, Ein Medalgin Bishnei Inyanim. And there, when it said you're not allowed to go and skip, it's when it's talking about two Inyanim. Shezeh Bin Yom Kippurim, Zeh, Bitzad Es Aron, or Beparish Acheres. That wouldn't be allowed. Why? She'ein halev shu nimshach achar inyan echad mimaher lotzeis vimenu lishmo lohavin divrei inyan achar. When you're involved in sugya one, your mind is still on it, and therefore if you jump to sugya two, inyan two, you're not going to understand it as well. Hilkach, Torah, in regards to Torah, sha mitzos tluyabo, which has dinim halacha lomaisa mitzos, mashmino solotzibor, and you're teaching the tzibor, these are these halachos, upasuk echad shelo yavin bohu shachacho, but over a law, beinu mekayma. And if somebody doesn't understand something, he's going to miss out these halacha l'maisa dinim. And it can lead to a terrible travesty over here in that the person will do exactly the opposite of what he's supposed to do. Therefore, Rashi says, we don't skip from one union to the other union. Even if it's not going to be a delay in the tzibor, because there'll be enough time to skip from point A to point B because the maturgaman is translating, but if it's too different in yonim, we're too much concerned that there'll be a mistake made. Abu Benavi, which doesn't deal with halacha l'maisa, a practical dinim, shaper dummy, wouldn't be the end of the world. Chas v'shalom if somebody did make a mistake. So that's Abaye's ultimate reconciliation between our Gemara and the Gemara in Megillah. And I'll show you this is right where it says Vatanya. This is as Rashi always points out, Benichusa. Most of the time Vatanya is Akasha, but about 10% of the time it's Benichusa, meaning yes, this is right, as the Brisa clearly states what Abaye had said. Again, the Amoraim didn't necessarily know all the Brisos, so we'll have a Tani Nami Hochi, or the Hatanya in this situation that supports what the Amora said. And the Brisa specifically states, just like Abaye said, in the Torah, you're allowed to skip if it's the same inyan. In the Navi, you could skip even between two inyanim, and both of them, the Kan v'Kan, we don't have, Tircha de Tzibura, we don't want the Tzibura waiting in silence while you're mishing. So therefore, whether it's Navi or whether it's Torah, it has to be within the amount of time that the Meturgamin is translating that you can get from the first verses to the second set of verses. So as long as there's enough time that the Meturgamin is translating, so then between Navi and Chumash you're allowed to skip. If there's not enough time, Ben Navi, Ben Chumash, you're not allowed to skip. But in Chumash you're only allowed to skip, even if there's the Meturgamin speaking, only if it's the same Inyan, whereas in Navi, if it's two Inyanim, you're allowed to skip as long as the Meturgamin is still speaking. And furthermore, he says, you're not allowed to go from one Navi to another Navi. The Brisa adds another din over here. You can't have part of the Haftorah, let's say, from Yeshaya, and then the other part of the Haftorah from Yecheskel. That you can't do. However, Treyasor is considered one Navi. It's considered one Sefer of the Nevi'im Achronim, even though there are 12 shorter Nevi'im inside of it. So you're not allowed to go and skip normally from Yeshaya to Yecheskel to Yirmiyah, but within Treyasor you can go from one of the Navi of Treyasor to other Navi of Treyasor. In fact, sometimes we actually read from three of them. In one situation, our Haftorah is from three of the Treyasor, but they're in order within the Treyasor, and we're allowed to skip within Treyasor as long as it wouldn't take so much time that the Meturgamin couldn't explain, as the Brisa tells us. Normally, Vein Madalgami Novi Lenavi. However, Uve Navi Shos Neimosor, but in Treyasor, the 12 minor, quote, prophets, as they're called. They're all major prophets. However, they're shorter. That's why they're called the minor prophets. So, B'navi shel treyasar, midalgin, you are allowed to go and skip. But even there, there are some rules. But you can't go backwards. You can only go from the beginning towards the end. And as long as there's enough time for you to have the Meturgamin translate in between, so then you can go further in the Navi. But you can't go from a later Navi to an earlier Navi, or from a later Perek to an earlier Perek. That's the simplest understanding of this Gemara. There are other ways to understand this, but that's how we'll learn it for now. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah again. It says, after the Kohen Gadol reads from Achimos and from Emor, so the Golol as a Torah, then we said that you roll up the Torah, you do Hagman Galila, or Menicha B'cheiko, he holds it in his bosom, and then he says there's much more over here to be said, and he reads that next part out loud, which is from Yom Kippur Musaf, from Parshas Pinchas. That's a great deal away. We're in the middle of Vayikra, and the next reading that you have to do will be all the way later on towards the end of Sefer Bamidbar, so that would take too long for the Tzibur, and therefore he reads it outside by heart. So the Gemara says, V'kol kach lama. Why does he have to say, hey, there's plenty more over here to be read, but I'm skipping and saying it outside? Why does he have to do that? So Gemara says, Shalol hotzi las al Sefer Torah, because people will think if he puts away the Sefer Torah, it must be that there was a pagam in the Sefer Torah. They must have found some sort of a mistake in the Sefer Torah, and it's not a complete Sefer Torah, and that's why he's not reading from it. So therefore, he tells him, no, this is a good Sefer Torah. Don't have any aspersions on this Sefer Torah. It's a perfectly kosher Sefer Torah. However, because of Tircha de Tzibura, we're not going to go and read it inside, but I'll say it outside. Then the Mishnah is quoted and says, so then he goes reads from Parshas Pinchas. He reads that little laning about the Musaf of Yom Kippur by heart, ba'al peh. Now, where it says, why don't we just v'lichichei la'sefer v'likrei? Why don't we roll it? After all, I've been saying all the time, because of Tirchat Tzibura, the Gemara now asks that question. Why don't we just roll it there? So I'm Rav Huna bar Yehuda. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Huna, who's the son of Yehuda, said in the name of Rav Sheshes, l'fi she'en golim sefer Torah b'tzibur, because it's not covered for the Tzibur to go and have a delay, waiting and waiting and waiting. And therefore, it's improper to keep the Tzibur waiting. Tircha de Tzibur is such an important idea, so therefore we don't want to have this, and therefore it's better for us to read it out loud, outside, ba'al peh, not to make the Tzibur wait to roll it. That's why it's a tremendous zuchus for all the Gabayim that make sure that the Sifrei Torah are already rolled before the davening to the right place, as opposed to when you take out the Sefer Torah, and now you have to start mishing, you have to start rolling to the right place. So therefore, kol hakavod to all the Gabayim that make sure that this is done properly, because it's a tremendous idea of kavod Tzibur, and that there shouldn't be a Tircha de Tzibur. Where it says, why don't we do something else? So, take two Sifrei Torah, like we do all the time. Have two Sifrei Torah out there. One roll to the middle of a Yikra for Achrimos and Amor, and one roll to Pinchas. And we'll read from two different Sifrei Torah. So Gemara says, Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar. So this same Rav Huna bar Yehuda said here in other Teretz, Mishum Pagamush Rishon, because if you're reading from a second Sefer Torah, they're going to assume the first Sefer Torah is possible. And therefore, we don't want to do that to cast aspersions on the first Sefer Torah. Reish Lakish is a different Teretz. Rishim Melakish Amar, Lefi She'enu Mevarachin, Bracha She'enu Tzricha. He says, because now you have to make a separate Bracha. And it's really unnecessary to make a separate Bracha. It's the same person reading. And that's an important answer for both Reish Lakish and Rav Huna bar Yehuda, which we'll explain in a moment, and therefore we don't want to make an extra bracha have to be said, and therefore that's why we don't take out a second Tevet Torah. Now, these terutzim over here are both questioned. Umi chayshim and lipagama. Number one, are we concerned about a pagam over here? And one could really say the same thing. Are we concerned over here about making an unnecessary bracha? After all, Rosh Chodesh Teves, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, the famous situation where Rosh Chodesh, which is Teves, which is Chanukah, and it's a Shabbos, so we take out three Sifrei Torah, maybe Shosh Torahs V'Kore. There are several times during the year where we take out three Sifrei Torah, and we don't worry about Tichat Tzibur in that situation, because we have each Sefer Torah rolled to the right place, and we quickly go to the right Sefer Torah, to the right place. And in this situation with three Sefer Torah, one is the regular reading for that Shabbos, Achaz B'Yonon Shoyom, the section that you would read for that Shabbos, Nachash Rosh Chodesh, one is the special Maftir that we read from, again, Parshas Pinchas for Rosh Chodesh, V'Achaz Vil Chanukah, and one of them is the special Torah reading that we read on Chanukah from Parshas Naso. So we see we do take out three Sefer Torah, so why don't we take out an extra Sefer Torah over here and let the Kohen Gadol read from the second Sefer Torah from the end of Parshas Pinchas? That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, no. We're concerned about Pagam of a Sefer Torah. In our case, we're not concerned about the Pagam of a Sefer Torah in that case. Or I would add that you're not concerned about a second bracha over there because it's a different person getting the aliyah. T'losa gavre b't'losa sifri leka pagoma. When you have three people getting the aliyah, so then everybody realizes, oh, you're giving it to another person. The first Sefer Torah was perfectly good. Otherwise, you would have given it to the same person that got the first aliyah. If it was a pogam Sefer Torah, you'd give him aliyah from the non-pogam Sefer Torah. From the fact that it's a second person, obviously, there is no concern about pagam in the first Sefer Torah. And I would add that we're not concerned when you're giving another person for an extra bracha. Our minhag today is that every person who gets an aliyah makes the bracha. In the times of the Gemara, only the first person made the bracha Rishon and the last person made the bracha Achrona. Nowadays, every person who gets an aliyah makes their own bracha. So therefore, there is no concern over here with the pagam in the first Sefer Torah or an unnecessary bracha. So therefore, when you have Tlos or Gavri, three people, there's no problem. However, when it's Chag, Gavra, Betray, Sifrei, but if it was the same Kohen Gadol, who are now getting aliyah from the second Sefer, so you'd have a big problem over here, Ika Pagama. People might mistakenly think, oh, why are they giving the same person an aliyah in a different Torah? It must be that the first Torah had a pagam. Okay. Mark continues by quoting the Mishnah, Mavarech Aleh Shmona Brachos Chulei. Afterwards, the Kohen, after he does the laning, he makes eight brachos, and the Chulei, the Mishnah explained what those eight brachos are, and the Brisa goes into it in more detail. Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa says as follows, Mavarech Aleh Shmona Torah. The first one is he makes the bracha on the Torah, the bracha that we normally make when we finish reading the Torah. This is the same bracha that we make all the time in shul after a person gets his aliyah. Okay, then the next one is Vala Avoda. This is a special bracha for the Avoda, which is the bracha of Ritzei. Then Mahaldor, that's the bracha of Modim. The Amachilas Avon, that's the bracha that we make, Kisiknon, that we make normally on Yom Kippur, Mochev Usalech Avonos. So now those are these four brachos. The Torah, Avoda, Hodor, and Mechilas Avo Kisiknon. So that's four. Then we make a special bracha on the Beis HaMikdash, Al Mikdash of the Atzel, which we explained in yesterday's shir. You're making a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Beis HaMikdash. That's number 5. Ala Kohanim b'fnei Atzmon, a separate bracha for the Kohanim. That's number 6. Ayisrael b'fnei Atzmon, for Klal Yisrael. That's number 7. Vayushalayim b'fnei Atzmon, a special bracha for Yushalayim. Those are the 8 brachos. Now that's according to the Girsa that we have, that the next part is the Hashar Tefila, as the Mishnah is quoted. Others have the Girsa, the Al Sha'ari HaTefillah. So it depends which Girsa you have. If you say that this is a separate bracha, that is a 9th bracha, so then you have to delete one of the other brachos from the count. But if you're saying that the rest is tefillah, so then the rest is not considered. The 8 brachos is considered separate tefillahs. In any event, the Gemara says the following brisa, Tana Rabban, Hashar tefillah, the rest that the Kohen Gadol and the people say is tefillah, techina, rina, or bakasha. These are all various types of tefillos. Tefillah is davening, techina is asking Hashem for things, supplications. And then we have Rina, which is singing and praising to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bakasha is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu various things, requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu various things. And what do we say? Sha'am chiso tzrichim livashaya. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save us. The chosim, and we conclude this additional tefillah with bishomea tefillah, with the bracha, bracha to Hashem, shomea tefillah. Fine. Mikan va'elech, after that, what would the people do? Everybody would go back to their houses and take the Sefer Torah. Now, how come it's not a problem of carrying? So some suggest that there is no issue of carrying on Yom Kippur. We don't postulate like that, however. We say that there is an issue of carrying on Yom Kippur, and therefore they either were already brought to a place where there is no issue of carrying, or there was an Erev over here, because Yerushalayim itself is considered an Erev, because all the doors close at night, and therefore you could carry in Yerushalayim Midoraisa. Or others suggest that they just brought it to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was already in the Beis HaMikdash, and they just went, not to Bitok Beiso, but they went to get their Sifrei Torah. Every person got their own Sifrei Torah. There was a mitzvah for each person to write a Sifrei Torah. Today, nowadays, many poskim suggest that we can fulfill that by having just Svarim in our houses, not necessarily a Sefer Torah. The whole purpose of having a Sefer Torah was that they would go learn from the Sefer Torah. Today we learn more from Svarim. In any event, everybody went to get their own Sefer Torah, the Koribo, and they would read from that Sefer Torah. They would learn from it. The Kol Kach Lama, how come? So the Gemara concludes, the Brisa concludes, Kedei Laharos Chazuso L'Rabim, in order to show everybody the beauty of the Sefer Torah, L'Hagdil Torah L'Hadir, as Rashi says, Laharos Chazuso Sefer Torah V'Noyo, show how beautiful it was. As the Gemara knows, it tells us, Domamar Zeh Keli V'Yanvei, we always have to go and glorify God's name and his noel the fun of the mitzvos b'sefer Torah noah b'tzitzis noah. And how do we do this? So we do our mitzvos in a beautiful way. You write a beautiful sefer Torah, so everybody would show how they were going and glorifying all the mitzvos, such as having a sefer Torah. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah now is going to deal with the mitzvah of hakel. The mitzvah of hakel, as we mentioned previously, also had to be said in Hebrew. And that's why this Mishnah is over here. The melech on the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot in the 8th year, after the Shemitah year, in the next year following the Shemitah year, the first year of the next cycle, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, would go and read various Pesukim known as Hakel. So that's what we're now going to discuss. He had to read those Pesukim B'davka in Hebrew. He couldn't read them in any other language. So, Parashas HaMelech Ketzav, what exactly is this Torah reading that the Melech has to do? So, the Mishnah tells us, Matzoy Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, B'Shemini. It was on the end of Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon, the first days of Chag, which is always Sukkot, B'Shemini, which will mean in the 8th year. The Gemara will dash it out why there's so many words over here. Why don't you just say on the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot? So we'll see that each of these is dashing something. So as it turns out, it was in B'Motzei Yom Tov HaRishon at the conclusion of the first day of Yom Tov of Chag of Sukkot, B'Shemini. B'Shemini here doesn't mean on the 8th day, it means in the 8th year, meaning post-Shemitah, which the Mishnah now tells us, B'Motzei Shviyas, because there could have been misunderstood for something else, as the Gemara will explain. So therefore you should know that it is in the 8th year, meaning in the first year post-Shemitah. So what would they do? Osen Obima Shel Eitz Bazar, they would go and create a Bima, a platform. It was made out of wood, and that would be placed in the Azara. As we'll explain, Rashi in the Gemara, they couldn't make it beforehand because then they would have it lying around in the Azara, and it would take up too much space. And they couldn't build it on Shabbos or Yontif. So therefore, they had to build it on the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. For Yoshev Elel, the Melech would go and sit on this platform, on this Bima Shel Eitz, as the king is allowed to go and sit in the Azara, Shenemar. And as the Pasuk tells us, Miketz Sheva Shanim Bimoed, it was at the conclusion of the 7 years Bimoed on Sukkot. And it tells us further, Shinas Hashmita Bechag Hasukos. That's the Gomer over here. So this is, again, extra words that are needed to darshan exactly when this is supposed to be done. So that's when they would do the Parsha of Hakel. And how do they do this? So the Chazon HaKnesses, the sextant, the shamish of the base Knesses of the Beis HaMikdash, Notel Sefer Torah, you would go to the Oren and take out the Sefer Torah, And he would give it to Venosi LaRosh HaKnesses. He would give it to the president of the Knesses to give it to the Nasi. The Rosh HaKnesses and the Nasi would go and take it. Nosi LaSkan, he would give it to the Skan Kohen Gadol. And the Sakan, Nosi the Kohen Gadol, he would give it to the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol, Nosi LaMelech. The Kohen Gadol would go and give it to the king to read. The HaMelech Omed, he would then stand up, implying that he was sitting before, and there's a Gemara we'll discuss again. And if HaMelech Omed Umakabel, he would take the Sefer Torah, but then he would sit down for Kori Yoshev. He would be able to sit down, really, because the Melech is allowed to sit down in the Azar. Now, Maisa Shoya, Agrippas HaMelech. Who was Agrippas? Agrippas was a king in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and he was from Herod. He was a descendant of Herod. He was an Idumean slave, because Herod was an Idumean slave. And therefore, he wasn't from Malchus Beis David, for sure. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there were no kings from Malchus Beis David. The only kings that we had were from the Chashmonaim, and then ultimately from Herod, and the other Avodim. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us that anybody who says that they're from Malchus Beis HaChashmonaim is a liar, because the last woman survivor from Malchus Beis David, she committed suicide so that nobody should go and claim that they were from the Chashmonaim dynasty, because Herod wanted to assault her and take her so that his children would come from Malchus Beis David. In any event, this Agrippa, either he was a full slave, or his mother, as she tells us, was Jewish. So he wasn't a slave, but he wasn't roy to be the Melech. In any event, this Agrippa's HaMelech, he once was doing the mitzvah of Hakel. He took the Sefer Torah, and instead of sitting down, he stood on my Bekibel, as we had said you have to do, but then Vikara Omed, he read it while he was standing up and not sitting down. And the Chachamim said, Yashakaya, Bishibhu Chachamim. The Chachamim praised him for doing this action, which goes against the normal order, but because he was giving kavod to the Torah, as the Gemara will explain, so he was allowed to be moichel on his kavod as the king. Normally, it's proper for the king to be sitting. It's not proper for the king to be standing. But since he was doing this to give kavod to the Torah, he was allowed to do this. That's what the Gemara will tell us. And therefore, Bishibhu Chachamim. The Chachamim praised Agrippas for doing this. Agrippas was a good king, and they praised him for doing this. However, Ukishigia, when he was reading from the parish of Hakel to the pasuk where it says, Lo suchal, lo seis olecho ish nochri, this is the end of the pasuk of Som tosim olecho melech, asher yivchar Hashem lokecha bo, mikerav achecho tosim olecho melech. You have to have him from mikerav achecho. And lo suchal, lo seis olecho ish nochri, you can't go and pick a stranger, a non-Jew, asher lo achecho hu, that doesn't have the status of being eligible to be a king. And Agrippas, who was an honest, good king, saw that he really wasn't allowed to be the king. And therefore, when he read this pasuk in Hakel, Zolgu Einav Demos, he cried because he realized he really wasn't right to be the king. However, the Chachamim said to him, Amulo, they said to him, no problem, Altis Yari Agrippa, so chinu ato, chinu ato. They flattered him. They were mechanit him. This will lead us to a beautiful discussion about Hanifa, which will bring us to the end of this seventh parak, Mitzvah Shem, today at the end of this year. So they flattered him. And they told him, don't worry about it, Agrippa. You're okay. You're our brother. Everything is good. They should have told him, you're right. You're not allowed to be the king. But they didn't. And this, unfortunately, led to terrible destruction. We'll read about this more in the Gemara. We now continue reading the Mishnah. Then it would tell us that the king would read Vikore, where would he read from? Mitchilas Eile HaDvarim. He would read various psukim from Devarim. And you can see in the Torah R, it gives us a list of all the psukim throughout Devarim. He would read from various sections of Devarim, starting from the very beginning, from Eile HaDvarim, until all the way through to Devarim Chav Ches. He would skip certain parts, and he would read all the way straight through, a tremendous amount. So Vikore Mitchilas Eile HaDvarim until Shema. He would read until the psukim of Shema Yisrael. And then he would read from Shema, Vayim Shamoa, then he'd read Aser Ti Aser from Parshas Re'e, Kisachalel Aser, he would read that as well. And then Uparashas HaMelech, he would read Som Tesim Olech HaMelech. And then it would read Ubrachos Uklolos. Some switch around the orders of some of these psukim because you have to go skip backwards and forwards. So some say, no, the orders of these psukim are in a different order. But in any event, he would read all of these things because they were all pertinent to the Kabbalah Torah, Kabbalah Olech Malchus Shemayim, Kabbalah Mitzvos, and those were all of the things that a king had to stress to the people at this point in time. And then he would conclude Asher Gomer Kol HaParsha. He would finish reading off the entire parsha that he was supposed to read, and he would read the Brachos Shekohen God Mavarech Osen Amelech Mavarech Osen. And then at the conclusion of all of that, he would say the same brachos that the Kohen Gadol made on Yom Kippur. He would say those eight brachos as well, with one substitution. since it wasn't Yom Kippur, he wouldn't say the bracha of Mocha v'Soleach Lavonos Am Yisrael, El Shinos Sein Shel Regalim. He would say the bracha of Mikadish Yisrael V'Yazmanim Tachas Mechilas Ovim. Instead of that specific bracha of Yom Kippur, he would read the specific bracha for the Shalosh Regalim. We'll speak about this a little bit more in the Gemara, so let's jump right into the Gemara. Gemara starts off and asks, the Lashon of Bashmini is the wrong gender. It should have said Bashminis, if you're talking about the year, so the year is feminine. So you should have said Shminis. Why do you say Bashmini, which is masculine, which implies Yomim, which is days? So the Gemara asks, Bashmini, Sukkot, Daitok? Do you really think the word should be Bashmini, which implies the eighth day? It's not the eighth day of Sukkot, it's the first day of Sukkot. And Bashmini really should have been Bashminis, which meant the eighth year, meaning the post-Shemitah year. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ema Bashminis. Yeah, it should have said Bashminis. It really meant the eighth year. Okay. Now, v'chol hani lovely, you have so many descriptive terms, as I pointed out when we were in the Mishnah. Why does it have to say so many terms? So we're going to understand this the way the Gemara does, the way Rashi understands it. Tosfos is a different understanding. We'll just keep it nice and simple like Rashi. So all of these words are necessary, Rashi says, tzricha. As Rashi tells us, in Dira Masul Tzricha, kol ha-simonim halalu, all of these extra words, mikei, shnas, hashmita, b'chag, sukos, b'moi, it tells us all these descriptive terms, so we shouldn't have any doubt as to which day Hakel actually took place. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, because the ikos ha-rechmona, mikei, if you just told me, at the conclusion of the 7 years, so it meant at the end of 7 years, but Lav Davka, is that the Shemitah year? You know what I would say? Havamina, Nimnu Mihashta. They would start counting from the moment this pasuk was given, which was towards the end of the 40th year, while Klai Yisrael was coming out of the Midbar, entering into Eretz Yisrael. Yavagav, the low Misramish Bishmita, but Shemitah didn't start until after the conclusion of the Kibush and Chiluk, after 14 years that Yeshua entered into the land. Only then did they start counting the Shemitah and Yovel cycle. So you might have thought over here that they should start counting from when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Kosar Rachmona Shemitah. That's why it had to tell us it had to be the Shemitah year. Now, it wasn't the Shemitah year itself. Because of Rachmona Shemitah, I would have said, Havamina Besov Shemitah, we've been at the conclusion of the 7th year, not in the beginning of the 8th year. That's why Kosar Rachmona B'moi, that's why it had to tell us it had to be during a holiday. There is no holiday at the conclusion of the Shemitah year. The holiday starts at the beginning of the next year with Sukkot. Now, if you just wrote, because of the Moed, I would have said, the Moed isn't referring to Sukkot. Havamina, Mirei Shata, would have said it refers to Rosh Hashanah. So, therefore, Kasa Rachmana, that's why it had to be Dafka say, B'chaka Sukkos, and that's why we know that's not Rosh Hashanah. No, if you just write Chaka Sukkos, Kasa Rachmana, B'chaka Sukkos, I would have said, Havamina, Afilu Yom Tavachva. It could even be on the last day of Sukkos. It doesn't have to be the first day, post the first day of Sukkos. It could be post the last day of Sukkos. So, therefore, Kasa Rachmana, Bevo, Kol Yisrael, has to be the time when all of Kol Yisrael is there. And when is all of Kol Yisrael over there? Me'eschalto demoy, is returned to Mem Aleph and Mebeis from the very beginning. Everybody has an obligation. Aliyah from the very first day, and therefore all of these words are necessary to specify and show us that it specifically is talking about the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos in the 8th year, the year after the Shemitah, once the Shemitah cycle started after the 14 years of Kibush and Chiluk. Okay. Quote the Mishnah, Chazana Knesses, no Tosei for Torah, we know Tosei Rosh Knesses. So we had this previously with the Kohen Gadol. We had the whole procession. You have the Shamish who gives it to the president of the Shul, who gives it to the vice Kohen Gadol, who gave it to the Kohen Gadol. And here we have also, he gave it then to the Nasi. So what do we see? We're giving cover to all the lower people. It's a big honor to be in that procession. So Shamish, we know, Cholkin Kovel, the Talmud, B'makom Rab. So we give it to the Talmud, the lower person, the lesser status person. We give him kavod, even though it's in the presence of the greater person. So we said before that we give it to the vice Kohen Gadol, even though there's a Kohen Gadol present. So here we give it to the Kohen Gadol, even though there's a king present. So we give kavod to the lesser person, even though the greater person is there. So let us learn from here that that's allowed. So Abaye says, no. As we said previously, Abaye, no. Kula mishum kol du demelech. All of this is the procession over here. The entourage is for the kavod of the king. Just like the entourage was for the kavod of the Kohen Gadol, so to over here. The Kohen Gadol is included over here to give kavod to the king. All of these important people are involved in the procession. Wow. That end person must really be special. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, V'amelech omeinu mekabel b'kori yoshev, that in the normal circumstances, the king took the Sefer Torah while he was standing up, but then he could sit down in the Azara and read it while he was sitting down. But agribas ha-melech omad v'kibol b'kori omeinu. But he did something which the rabbis praised him for, he read it standing up. Now, again, as I pointed out, when it says that he read it standing up, omeinu, or that the king normally took it when he was standing up, Michal Diyoshe, that until then he was sitting. So how could this be? Agrippus wasn't allowed to sit. So how could this be? Even if Agrippus was the king, he wasn't for Malchus Beis David. How was he allowed to sit there? We had this pasuk previously, so he's not allowed to go and sit over there, except if you're Malchus Beis David. So how could Agrippus have been sitting previously? That's the question. Just like we asked, how could the Kohen Gadol be sitting previously? So Rav Chisda had given a teres. We had several terutz in them, but Rav Chisda had given us a teres that it was the Kohen Gadol was sitting in the Ezras Noshim, so Kid Omer of Chisa Be'ezras Noshim, so to over here, Akribus HaMelech, Hochanami Be'ezras Noshim, was sitting in the Ezras Noshim, where he and all the other people were allowed to go and sit, and therefore, in the Ezras Noshim, he was sitting. He then stood up to go get the Sefer Torah, then he went to the Azara. Now, for Malchus Beis David, you'd be allowed to sit in the Azara and read, but the Melech Agribas wasn't for Malchus Beis David, so he stood. And the Shidchul Chacham, we quote the Mishnah, the rabbis praised him for doing this, because it was giving cover to the Torah. Shibchu, Gemara says, Mikal de Shaparaba. Sounds like he was doing the right thing, that he was being moichel on his kavod to stand up and not sit down. Omar Rabbi Ashi said, Afilu man di Omar Nasi Shemochal al kvodo, kvodo mochal. Even according to the opinion that says that a Nasi that is willing to give up on his kavod is mochel, but by a king we don't say that. By a king we say, Melech Shemochal kvodo ain't kvodo mochel, that a king doesn't have the right to give up his honor. So how could this be over here? Now where do we know the king's not allowed to give up his honor, but the Nasi would be allowed to give up his honor? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Som tosim alecha melech, under all circumstances, this lashon of som tosim, shetei emaso alecha. It has to be constantly, you have to be in fear of the king. So if the king is moichel on his kavod, you're not allowed to accept that, and you have to give him kavod anyway. So how could Agrippas HaMelech have decided to stand up to give cover to the Torah when he was doing this at the expense, so to say, of giving cover to the king? So the Gemara answers, mitzvah shiny. It's different if you're doing a mitzvah. And here Agrippas was doing a mitzvah of honoring the Sefer Torah. So therefore, he was allowed to go and do this, even though under normal circumstances, if it wasn't for a mitzvah, he wouldn't be allowed to be moichel on the kavod of the melech. But when he's doing a mitzvah, he is allowed to be moichel on the kavod of a melech. Tosos in the top Tosos, Mr. Shiny has a whole discussion about this. We don't have time to go through this right now. Ayin Shum for some interesting halach l'maisa ramifications of this din. Then we quote the Mishnah, Ukshagia, when the Melech came to the point, and Agrippus in this situation was the Melech reading, and he came to the point of Som Tosim Olecha Melech, and the end of that pasuk said, Lo Sucha Lo Seis Olecha Ish Nochri Asher Lo Achicha Hu. So that's the next part. Ukshia Lo Sucha Lo Seis. So Zogu Ein of Demos. He started to cry. So the Gemara says, Tanam Yishmei Rabbi Nosson. They learned a brisa in the name of Rabbi Nosson. Yosef Shaw Nischayvu Soni Yisrael Klia Shechnifu Lo Leagripas. At that moment in time, the Soni Yisrael, which is a euphemism over here, it meant for Klai Yisrael. Not the Sony Israel. This is really a reference to Klai Israel. All the rabbis, all the people there, they said, hey, no problem. Al Tisyari, don't be upset. You're our brother. Achi, achi, you're our brother. It's okay that you're not really worthy to be the king. We accept you anyway. So that was a type of chanufa, of flattery that was inappropriate. And in the Braisa that was learned in the name of Rabbi Nosson, that flattery caused a terrible, terrible destruction in Klai Israel. As Gemara now continues to proceed and tell us, Amr Bishimun ben Chalafta, Bishimun Chalafta tells us, Miyom Shagavar Egropa Shel Chanufa, from that moment in time, when the fist of flattery, when the strength of this flattery unfortunately occurred, so everybody basically learned from it and said, oh, if you're an important guy and you get flattered, it's okay, even though you're doing something wrong. And as a result, Shagavar Egropa Shel Chanufa, this, I think it's a play on the word Agrippas, the Egropa Shel Chanufa, the fist of the flattery that was done over here, so therefore, nis'avsu hadinim, all of a sudden, all the dayanim, they corrupted the din, and people accepted that. Nobody was medakdek, as Rashi says, shechnifu hadayanim nis'bali hadin. The bali din were important people, so the dayan changed the din around, so the important person would win. They learned this from the way that we flattered Agrippus. Oh, we can go against the din when it comes to flattering an important person, like the king Agrippus, so we can go flatter this important bali dinim. Likewise, miniskaku lamasim, as Rashi tells us, shagadolim ro of the aveira, the great people saw other people sitting, they didn't protest, because they wanted to flatter them. They were chashuv people, they were wealthy people, so they said, yeah, sure, what you're doing is fine, even though they knew what they were doing was not fine. So again, this caused a terrible change in the way that Klai Yisrael conducted themselves in terms of honesty and proper actions. And finally, no longer can anybody say to the friend, Ma'asai gedolim mi'masecha, my actions are greater than your actions. As Rashi says, Since the rabbis didn't protest, the great people didn't protest when the wealthy people, the people that they were trying to flatter, did something wrong. So Lamdu Hadaros is Masayim. So everybody saw, hey, that must be okay. When you flatter a person, he gives a lot of money to tzedakah, and he's a wealthy guy, but he does all sorts of favors. So you honor him at the shul dinner. You honor him with public recognition. You name the building after the big donation that he made, even though he was a corrupt person, he was an immoral person. So guess what? Benim so cool and over, and everybody says it's okay as long as you do something else, you're fine to go and sin. And this led to a terrible, terrible destruction of Klal Yisroel. In Tosfos Dibur Maskil Osa Yom, he brings down from the Yerushalmi, Tani Rabbi Chanina by Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Chanina, the son of Rabbi Gamliel, said, Omer Harbe Chalolim Naflu B'Yosi Yom. Many people died that day on the day Shechnifalo, that they went and they flattered, falsely flattered, and said to Agrippa Samelach, he had no problem. Then Tosfos goes through more additional details about exactly what the issue was with Agrippa's Ayin Sham. Okay, we go back to the Gemara, and the Gemara continues and says, Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar Marava v'Tamar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Either it was Yehuda who came from Eretz Yisrael, or it was said by Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi the following: Mutter lahachnif l'Rishoyim b'Olam Hazeh. One is permitted to go give chanufa to the Rishoyim in this world. And Tosfos points out, certainly you're allowed to do this if there's a sakana. And Tosfos in the bottom, Tosfos Kol HaMachlik, brings down a case where Ula once was traveling with a wicked person, and that wicked person, this Rasha, went and killed another person. And he asked Ula, did I do the right thing? And Ula was terrified that he would kill him. And he said, yeah, you did the right thing. And you should have even killed him in a faster way. You should have done this or that. And that type of chanufa to save your life is allowed. But here we're talking about that either Rav Yehuda bar Rava or Rav Shimon Pazi said that it is permissible to go and be machnit v'shoyim in this world because it's based upon the pasuk that's brought down from Yeshaya, Shenemar, lo yikare od linovol nodiv, ulechilai lo yiomer shoah. This is talking about in the future, you no longer will be able to be calling somebody a nodiv, an important person, or to call them a person who is a noble person. Only in the future will you not be allowed to do this. Implication being, Miklal Debolam Azeshari, that it is actually permissible under certain circumstances to use flattery for Rishoyim in this world. And Rishim Lakish also holds like this. Rishim Lakish Amar Mihochi, he has a different pasuk. He brings down from Yaakov Avinu that Yaakov Avinu tells Esav when he goes to meet him, Kiros Pnei Elokim Batirtseni. He says, you look like the face of an angel. And this is something that obviously Esav did not look like an angel, and yet Yaakov seems to tell Esav, you look like an angel, in order to flatter him, to appease him, to make him not start up with Yaakov. So again, we have these two Amarayim, Rav Yehuda bar Rava or Rav Shimon ben Pazi, who bring it down from the Pasuk that we said from Yeshaya, or we have Reish Lakish bringing it down from the encounter between Yaakov and Esav. However, all of these opinions are in disagreement with Rabbi Levi, who Pligo de Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi disagrees and says you're not allowed to flatter them in this world. That which Reish Lakish has said, that Yaakov was mechaniv to Esav, he disagreed. So the Amar of Levi, Rabbi Levi holds that no, that encounter between Yaakov and Esav is not to be understood the way Reish Lakish did. It was chanifa, ela, moshel shel Yaakov and Esav, l'ma davadome. What was that analogous to? What was that comparable to? La'odim shazim es chaveiro, v'hikibo shemivakesh l'horgo. Reuven invites Shimon to a big party, and Shimon realizes that the only reason Reuven invited him was he wanted to get him into his house where he could go and kill him in an easier way. So Reuven really invited Shimon to kill him. So Amalo, so when Shimon gets there, he says, oh, what a beautiful feast you have over here. Tam, tavshul zeh, shani toem, kitavshul shuta'amti v'vesemelach. Oh, the food that I have over here is so delicious. It tastes just like the food that I ate the other day in the king's palace. It tastes just like the food from the king's palace. What does that make Reuven think? Reuven says, wait a second, I better not kill Shimon over here. Amar, yada leil malka? Mistafe velokatule. Whoa, I didn't realize Shimon was such an important guy. He's friends with the king. He's eating by the king all the time. So therefore, I better not go kill him because the king's going to find out and say, hey, who killed my friend Shimon? And I'm going to get into trouble. So therefore, I'm afraid, mistafe velokatule, and I won't go and kill him. So that's what Yaakov was doing with Esav. He wasn't appeasing Esav. He wasn't being mechanef him. He was telling him, oh, you look like a malach. You know what? Esav's going to say, oh, Yaakov knows what Malachim look like. He's around Malachim all the time. He must be close to the king. He must be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I better not go and kill him. So that's why Yaakov told Esav, Kiroz Pnei Elokim, you look like an angel. Not because he was flattering him, like Reish Lakish said, but as Rabbi Levi says, because he wanted to show him, hey, I'm a regular amongst the Malachim. You better not start up with me. Now we have a number of statements. We're going to have a siman on this. I'm not sure why the siman comes after the first statement of Rabbi Elazar, but we're going to have a whole number of statements that Rabbi Elazar makes, and this will take us to the conclusion of the perek, telling us how bad this the evil thing of flattery is. So the first statement we have before the siman is Rabbi Elazar, Kol adam sheyesh bo chanufa mevi af li'olam. If a person is mechanif other people, he flatters other people inappropriately, incorrectly, so he brings af is anger into the world. Shenemar, the pasuk tells us, pasuk from Eov, those that are mechanei for other people, they bring anger into the world. And not only that, such a person, he's also going to have his tefillos not answered by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this is the conclusion of that pasuk. It then says, in the end of that pasuk, lo yishavu ki asaron, which means that Kodesh Baruch Hu will be cried out to, but he won't hear your tefillos, and he's going to punish you. So therefore, a person who flatters other people brings anger to the world, and his tefillos won't be answered. So when the Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes him, his tefillos won't help him. That's the first statement that Rulazah tells us about how terrible Hanifa is. Then it brings the Simon Av. Av was the first thing that he just said, maybe Af Li'olam. Then it will tell us something about flattery with Ubar, Gehenim, Biyodo, Nida, and Gola. All of these things will be additional statements that Rulazah makes about how terrible flattery is. And now we go on to the next one. Yom Rabbi Elazar, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Chanufa, Afilu Ubrin Shvimei, Iman, Mekalim Osov. A person does flattery, so then even the fetuses inside their mother's stomach are going to curse him. Where do we see this from? Because the Pasuk says, it's a Pasuk for Mishlei, Shenemar, Omer LaRosha, Tzadik Atov. If you tell a Rosha that he's a Tzadik, what's going to happen? You're flattering this Rosha. Yikivuhu Amim, the nations of the world are going to curse him, and use Amuhu Leumim. And now literally what this means is that it's going to cause Zam, anger in the world by the nations, but we're going to dash the word Leumim to mean fetuses. So first we have to dash in Yikivuhu, the Ein Kov Eloklola. This nations of the world will curse you. Yikivuhu is a klala. In Kovel klala, we see this from Shenemar, Lo Kabel Kel. When Bilam said to the Melech of Moab, he said to Balak, he said to him, what can I do? I can't curse the Klal Yisrael. Hashem didn't curse them. So how can I go and curse them? So we see that the Lashon of Kabo is a curse. As an aside, just such a beautiful explanation. What does it mean, lo kabo kel, that I can't curse the Klai Yisrael because God didn't curse them? So I heard a beautiful explanation. This is my Rebbeim. I don't remember who in the name of, but it says that I can't curse Klai Yisrael because they never curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite being persecuted, despite being tortured, despite all the terrible things that happened to us in history. Jewish people don't curse God. They don't say, God, how dare you do this to me? The majority of Klai Yisrael doesn't do this. So therefore, lo kabo kel, the Jewish people, even in the most extreme difficult situations, they say Shema Yisrael. How many Jews were led to their death saying Shema Yisrael rather than God, you left me, I don't believe in you anymore? So Chas V'Shalom, lo kabo kel, the Jewish people under great adversity, they never cursed God, how can I go and curse the Jewish people? Beautiful explanation. In any event, that's what we see. The word kov means klala. The Ein La'om, and this lashon of le'umim, which means nations, but it's also a lashon of fetuses. Ela ubrin, it means fetuses. Even the fetuses will be angry at Klai Yisrael, at those people that are mechanfim. Shenemar ul'om ilom yamatz, because it says by Rivka, when she asked what's going on inside of me, that there's these kicking when I go by the Avodah Zarah, and there's kicking when I go by the Beis Medrash. So the two nations, shnei goyim b'vnechu, shnei lumim, the two fetuses inside of you, Mimayim, you pray, the others will come out, Ula'om, Mil'om, Ya'amotz. And one nation will be stronger than the other nation. So you see over here, La'om means the fetuses inside, they'll even curse Klal Yisrael. That's the second of the mnemonics Rabbi Elazar saying about Hanifa. But Rabbi Elazar tells another mnemonic over here. The next one is Gehenim. Kolom Sheish Bo Chanufa Nova Gehenim. If somebody is a flatterer, so he'll eventually end up in Gehenim. As the pasuk tells us, the pasuk from Yishai again, Shenemar, Hoy Ha'omrim Lora Tov. Woe is to those people that call the bad good, the Latov Ra, and they call the good bad, the Gomer. And then the next pasuk tells us, the following pasuk tells us, Lachain, Bechol Kash, Lashon Eish, Vachashash Lahava, Yirpa, Shorisham Kimak, Ye Opirchum Kiovach Yale, Kimas Restoris Hashem Svokos, Yat Armis Kedosho Niyatsu. In other words, they'll be totally destroyed. And this fire and all the fury over here is analogous to Gehenim. So those people that are flatterers, so ultimately they'll end up being destroyed and they'll be in Gehenim. The next Simon is biyado. The Amr Belazar call a machnif lechaveiro sof nofil biyado. If you go and flatter somebody, eventually you're going to fall into their hands. And if you don't fall directly into their hands, and they don't nofil biyado, you'll fall into their children. If you don't fall into their children, you fall into the grandchildren. As the Gemara continues, Nofel biyad banav, yemenu nofel biyad banav, nofel biyad ben bino. As we see from the following pasuk. Now the pasukim here are a little bit mixed up because they probably weren't being quoted accurately or exactly. They were just giving a description of it, but we'll read the pasukim exactly as they are, not with the girsa that we have, which is more of a just a general statement of what happened over here. Now this is when Yirmiyahu is running away. The Kazdim, Nebuchadnezzar, his army is surrounding Yerushalayim, but then he has to leave to go fight Mitzrayim, and now he's going to eventually come back. So Yirmiyahu tries to break away and go back to his area, and he's caught. So who is he caught by? He's caught by this Hananiah's grandson. He's having a conversation first with Hananiah. Hananiah is a false Navi. So Vayomer Yirmiyahu Hanavi El Hananiah. He tells Hananiah, what you're doing over here is wrong. Yirmiyahu had prophesied that we're going to be destroyed in 2 years. And everybody should make shtaros because you're going to come back in 70 years. But this false Navi Hananiah said, nah, don't listen to Yirmiyahu. We're going to be only going away for 2 years and then we're coming right back. So Yirmiyahu responds to this false Navi Hananiah and he says, oh, only amen that you should be right, but you're wrong. But it should be that you're right. And therefore, Yirmiyahu was mechanif him by saying, oh, Yashikoyach, I hope you're right, but you're wrong. He should have just said, you're a false Navi, you're lying. So, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Navi El Hananiah, Yirmiyahu said to Hananiah, El Hananiah Hanavi, Leinei HaKohanim, is a false Navi in front of all the Kohanim, Ulei Kol Ha'am, Omdim Veis Hashem. This is what he said to all the people. And now we have the rest of the Gemara quoted. He says, Vayomer Yirmiyahu Navi, Amen, King Yas Hashem. Yeah, it should be like you're saying that we should return in 2 years, albeit that's not what Hashem said. Yarkam Hashem is the Recha, but I pray that Hashem should fulfill your words and not the Navi that I'm giving. Hashem Ibeis, Loshiv, Klei Beis Hashem, Chalagolim Bavel, Amokam Azeh. Yeah, I hope that you're right, but you're wrong. You are a false Navi. But he didn't say that. He just said, Amen, I hope you're right, but this is what the prophecy that I have. And he should have told him much further, stronger off than he said that this ain't happening. Uksiv, when we turn to Membeis Amud Aleph, continuing the story, Vayihu Bishar Ben Yamin, he is going out, Yirmiyahu is going out via Shar Ben Yamin to try to escape from Yerushalayim. And the pasuk continues and tells us, Hashem Baal Pikidus, the person in charge of that gate where Yirmiyahu was trying to escape from, Ushmo Yiriyah Ben Shelemiah Ben Hananiah, our Hananiah over here, that there was the false Navi that Yirmiyahu was originally speaking with, his grandson, this person by the name of Yiriyah, who was the son of Shelemiah, who was the son of this Hananiah, he was standing there and he caught Yirmiyahu. But he exposed this Yirmiyahu, Hanavi Lemor, and he caught Yirmiyahu and he said to him, El HaKazim HaTanofel, you're trying to desert us and go and stay with the Kazim, go hang out with the Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, we're going to throw you in jail. Vayomer, now we have the word lo, but that's not in the pasuk. Vayomer Yirmiyahu. Sheker. He said, no, that's not true. And then he nofel ala kazim go. I'm not trying to go run away to the kazim. I just want to go back to my home. However, they didn't believe him. As the further in the Navi, it tells us, Vayivayel asarim, they bring him to the officers. Vayitpos, Yirmiyahu, Vayivayel asarim. So they took him, and they throw him into a dungeon, and they beat him up, and Yirmiyahu has a very, very difficult time. And we see over here, because he flattered Hananiah, the false Navi, the Navi Sheker, he fell ultimately into the hands of his grandson, this Yirmiyahu ben Shlemiah ben Hananiah. That proves what Rabbi Elazar said. The next memory from Rabbi Elazar about Hanifa is Rabbi Elazar, Kol Eda Sheyesh Bo Hanufa Me'usa Kinida, that any generation or any group of people, a congregation, an Eda, that has within it this very evil custom of Hanufa, of flattering, so they are going to be considered like a Nida. A woman is a Nida. She's not allowed to be with her husband. So too, this Eda is not allowed to be with Klai Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Ki Adas Chonev Galmud. So Pasuk from Eov as well, that tells us that they were an Eda. They were a congregation of Hanufim, and they were considered Galmud, which means Shekein B'Krachayayam, in the various Krachayayam, like the islands of the sea, in the cities near the shore, Korim L'Nido Galmuda. The word that they used to call Anita was Galmuda. What does Galmuda mean? My Galmuda? Gemula da mibala. She's separated from her husband. We have the word Vayigomel Yitzchak ben Shmonas Yomim. That Yitzchak was separated from his mother, from Sarah, at the age of 2. That's one of the explanations for Vayigomel. So he was weaned. So it means he was separated. And Gemula da mibala. So that's why they called the Nida Galmuda, because she was separated from her husband. Finally, we have the last statement of Rabbi Elazar. Yom Rabbi Elazar, Kol Eda Sheyesh Bo Hanufa, any group of people that has this terrible midah of Hanufa, L'sof Gola, they'll eventually be exiled. As the Pasuk says, Ksiv Hacha says over here, Ki Adas Chonev Galmud, as we just brought down this Pasuk from Eov, and it also says, Uksiv Hasam, it says, in Yeshaya, it brings down the Pasuk, Bi Omar, Bilvaver, Mi yolad li esela bani shchula v'galmuda gola v'sura v'gomer. They'll all be going into exile, so the galmuda will go into exile. Finally, we conclude this beautiful parak with the following words. There are four groups of people, four characteristics, four types of people that aren't going to be zolche to the Pnei Hashchina when Moshiach comes. So, who are these four groups of people? The first one is that's the least severe, that's the katz leitzim. These are people that are late, they're always making fun. They're always poking fun. The Rav gives a beautiful drasha, and then with one word, the late says, he's not really that good, or that's not really that smart, or that good. So they scoff, they make fun of. So those people, they're not going to be mekablos pnei shchina. The next worst class, a higher worst class, if you wish, pekas chanifim, that's those people that do this flattery. The worst class than that is pekas shakrim, people that are actually liars. And the worst class of all, pekas misapri, lashon hara, those people that speak lashon hara about others. We all know the second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of the terrible avera of lashon hara. Okay, so that's the statement that Yuri Rabbi makes. There are four groups of people, four types of characteristics of people that won't get the Pnei Hashchina. Where do we see this from? They're all based upon Psukim. The first one is the Pasuk from Hoshea. Kas Leitzim, where do we see that the scoffers, the people that make fun, they poke fun at everything, where do we see that they're not going to be Mekabel Pnei Hashchina? The Pasuk from Hoshea tells us, Moshach Yodo Es Lotzim. Hashem, so to say, he pulls away from those people that are scoffers. Where do we see the Kas Chanifim, those that are flatterers? They'll see it. That's a Pasuk from Eob. Kilo lefanov chanev yovo, that I will not go in front of the person who's a chanev, who's a flatterer. Kodesh Baruch Hu won't go with the flatterers. And kashakorim, the liars, the group of people that lie, they'll say, here's a pasuk from Tehillim, dover shkarim lo yiko leneged enai. Kodesh Baruch Hu can't stand to be with the liars. And finally, where do we see the kas v'sapri loshen hara, they're not going to be also mekabel pnei hashchina? That's a pasuk, they'll say, also from Tehillim. The pasuk tells us, kilo kel chafetz resha, Kodesh Baruch Hu can't stand to be with those people who do this evil, this terrible evil of speaking Lashon Hara. Tzadik ato Hashem lo yagur b'megurcha ra. Kodesh Baruch Hu is, of course, the epitome of righteousness, of tzidkus, and he can't stand to dwell amongst people that are the opposite of MS, those people that speak Lashon Hara. This is a beautiful conclusion to our seventh parak. Hadron Alecha Eil Amarin, Hadron Alecha Eil Amarin, Hadron Alecha Eil Amarin. Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we start the eighth parak in Sota. Have a great day.